say that there are things around us that make it confusing as well. And maybe one of those things is maybe we've just never heard teaching and preaching on the subject matter. And so whether you have or not, we're going to kind of dive into this evening for just a little bit, because we do have the Lord's table coming up. But let's get started into spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so that's interesting. So we have the first of abuse, you know, the Lord's table is being abused, and now this area is being abused. And he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay, this word ignorant is we're going to get to it in just a moment, but obviously there was a lack. Now, what does he say? He refers to spiritual gifts. So I'll comment a little bit more about the ignorance. But he says, he refers to them as spiritual gifts. When you look at this, now you understand that we have our Bibles, and of course we at the church used what we believe is the best version of the Bible in the English language. Okay, we feel that this is the best. You know, when you go back to the original manuscripts and the manuscripts that we choose to use, we feel that this copy, what we have, the King James Version, is the best what we have for our language. Okay, and so we look into it, but we do need to understand what that original language does say. Some things in there, because it helps. You know, when you look at the word that is used for spiritual gifts, it's the word spirituals. It's like the spirituals. Okay, and of course the writers of the King James Version helped us to understand that. There's nothing wrong with putting gifts in there. In fact, it helps us to understand it's spiritual gifts. But we're talking about the spiritual things of life, the spirituals, or if I could say characteristics under spiritual control. Now that is very important. When we look at spiritual gifts, we're talking about something that is under spirit control. Something that's under spiritual control. And of course, what is the spirit that we're looking at here? We're looking at the spirit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so, one writer says, Paul wants to make sure that the Corinthians have a clear, complete understanding of their spiritual gifts. The special equipment, listen to this, for ministry that the Holy Spirit gives in some, or I say in each of us, to measure in some capacity to each of us, to all believers, that are to be wholly under his control and used for Christ's glory. Spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit, powered by the Holy Spirit for his glory and not ours. Why do I take time to share that slowly? Because there's a lot of spiritual out there that is not used under the direction of the Holy Spirit and for their own glory. Do you know, or have you seen, or have you witnessed people acting, claiming the power of the Spirit, doing it for their advantage? Are there? Yes. That is not spiritual control. That is me deciding what I want to do. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts that we're talking about, are not anything that we're in control of. They have been given to us by the Holy Spirit. They're powered by the Holy Spirit, and they're for God and his glory. Okay, so we'll talk more about that. Now, whether a person is under as people, you can be under the power of two. What are those? I'll let you talk some. What are the two powers we could be choose to be under? I gave you one of them. We could be under the power of the Spirit or under the power of the flesh, okay? The flesh. We have the flesh and the spirit. In fact, we know that Scripture teaches that the two don't mix. Question. This is a hard question. Not really. Can a person ever operate half in the spirit and half in the flesh? Anybody know the answer to that? You don't know the answer, or the answer is no. You can never. There's applications here, by the way. You can never operate in the spirit and operate in the flesh at the same time. The two do not coexist. Can you ever be under the control of the Holy Spirit and do something in the flesh? Okay, let me say that again. It was a trick question. Can you be, and here, let me say this. When I say, can you be under the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm saying actively controlled by the Spirit. You are submitting to the Spirit at a given time. You are submitting to the Spirit and living under the Spirit and follow after the flesh. Okay, it is a trick question. The answer is no. If you are acting in the flesh, it's because you're allowing the flesh to be in control of you. Again, the two cannot be together. You are one or the other. Now, can we sometimes be in the flesh and then another time be in the spirit? Yes, okay. There are some times that I do things under the flesh, in the flesh, and guess what? I am not under the control of the Holy Spirit at that point in time. Now, he's supposed to be leading me, but I'm saying no to it. Okay, so in other words, if I go home tonight and I have a bad attitude and I do something wrong and I respond wrong to one of my kids, if I do that, what can you? And you would be judging biblically. What can you judge of me if I respond to one of my kids sinfully in the flesh? What can you honestly conclude at that point in time? I was operating under the power of the flesh. Okay? By the way, any time that I do something in the spirit, do something of the Spirit, it's because I'm under the power of the Spirit. Okay? Now, there are counterfeits. There are some people that look like they're doing something in the Spirit, but ultimately they're doing it for their own selves. And so that would not be of the Spirit. And we're going to dive into some of these things. It can be a little bit complex. But we've got to understand things, that when we talk about spiritual gifts, these are the spirituals, and these are only having to do with spirit-filled things. These are of the Spirit. They cannot be any part of our flesh. And folks, I want to tell you, that ruins a lot of the spirit-filled people that are out there, because they're doing it under a wrong power and for wrong motivations. And so we'll dive into that maybe a little bit more, a little bit later, okay? So it must be the true Spirit. Now, obviously, he says these people were ignorant. Many were confused of spiritual truth. You know, many people today are confused with spiritual truth. And it's extremely important for the survival and growth of a church. Now listen to this. This is important. It's extremely important for the survival and the growth. So for our existence and for the growth of the church, that we understand the truth of spiritual gifts. You say, why? Really? We need to understand spiritual gifts for us to survive? The answer is yes. For us to grow? The answer is yes. And you say, boy, we've gotten on for a long time because I don't understand. In fact, Pastor said that most of us don't understand. I'm going to say it again. For us to survive and to grow, we need to understand. Why? Because it's God's gift to the church in serving other people. The word is edification. How many times is the word edified connected with the church in the New Testament? Lots. Lots. All kinds of times we see edify, edification, that word, or the form of that word. And the reason why spiritual gifts are given is so that we can edify one another. And so it is extremely important for our church to understand spiritual gifts and how they function. And Satan, when he identifies something that is a key of the church for its survival and for its growth, what do you think Satan's attitude is towards that? Does he like it? If there's a key for survival and growth, is Satan going to like that? No way he isn't. And what, think about who Satan is. What is Satan going to, if he doesn't like it, what's the way Satan deals with it? What's that? He lies about it. He makes a counterfeit. Isn't that who the devil is? The devil does not work this way. The devil doesn't see something and say, I don't like that. I'm going to wipe that out. Because that's very clear. Right? That's so clear. And people, Christians will identify that. They'll say, well, look at that. That was just taken out. That's usually not the devil's work. Because see, the devil is the father of lies. That's who he is. You know how we, this morning, I referred to who God is. Who is God? This morning we said he is the deliverer, right? It's who he is. He doesn't just deliver, it's who he is. The same thing is true of Satan. He's not the deliverer. He is the liar. He is a liar. He is the father of. When we get confused with father of, we just talk about he is my father. But here in the scriptures, when he's the father of lies, in the book of John, is it, I think? When he's the father of lies, we're saying he's the source of lies. That's where lies come from. That's what he's going to do. So anytime Satan is going to see a big deal, he's going to produce a counterfeit. That people are going to be deceived. And they're going to think that they're doing the right thing and they're being deceived. And he's laughing because they look spiritual, they talk spiritual, they act spiritual, they are not spiritual. And I will tell you, there are cults out there today that are being deceived. And you know what? We can be upset at them, but I tell you, we ought to be sad for them because they've believed a lie. They're believing lies. And they really believe that they are part of the faith. They believe they're of Christ. They believe they're of the Spirit. I really believe they believe it. But they've been lied to and they don't see the truth. I want to tell you, it's why we as Christians need to understand what real spiritual truth is. We need to understand. You say, will it affect our church? It will. Maybe we won't start speaking in tongues. Maybe we won't start doing certain things. But I will tell you this, that if we don't understand spiritual gifts, then we will not effectively minister each other. And what happens with that is then we get divided and we split up. It's very important that we understand, because we need to operate under the Spirit, not the flesh. If we're not operating in the Spirit, then we're operating in the flesh. So we need to understand the spirituals and how they operate. And so we are going to do that. But the devil certainly wants a counterfeit. And so we need to understand real truth. I certainly have lots that I could go into, and I want to know what we should. I'm going to be disciplined to go slow and not miss things. Let's look at some truths to understand. I think we're just about out of time, but some truths to understand concerning spiritual gifts. Why don't we just do? We're just going to do. Well, let's see. Christ. Number one. Here's some some things concerning spiritual gifts that we need to understand. And this is a little topical right here, because we're introduced here that we don't want to be ignorant, right? We don't want to be ignorant. So something that we need to understand concerning spiritual gifts is, first of all, Christ lives in us. I want you to understand that. All right, Romans 8, 9, really quickly. We're just going to take just a few moments, then we're going to go right to the Lord's table. Christ lives in us. I want you to see this. Christ lives in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You see the difference in the two there that we just talked about. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he's asking a question, but it's a rhetorical question because, you know, if you're saved, what do we know? Does the Spirit of God live in us? Yes. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. Understand that. Christ lives in the believer. Okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what's the answer? He is none of his. He's not a believer, okay? So what's the simple truth there as far as believers are concerned? Christ lives in us. Okay, so if you're a believer here tonight, what's the truth in that verse? Christ lives in you. Does everybody understand that? Christ lives in you. So think about it, picture it. Okay, so Christ lives in me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" All right. So you're a believer and the Spirit of God, Christ, lives in you. He dwells in you. Ephesians 2:22 says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Okay, so we are, and this is kind of referring to the body of Christ. If Christ is in you and we are here as a church, what do we also know about Christ and this church? He lives in us, right? So Christ is in the church, individually and corporately in the church, the saved body of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Christ in you. Now that's the first truth. You say, that was simple. Why do we need to know that? Let's look at a second truth. This is going to help us to understand some things about spiritual gifts, okay? Christ lives in you. The second thing I want you to see is Christ wants to strengthen others through you. Christ is in me. Do you benefit when Christ is in you? Of course you do. You know, not only Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you glad that when the rapture comes, you get to go to heaven? Are you thankful that you get to go? Wow, yes, you better. Are you thankful that you don't have to go to hell and burn forever and ever? Wow, what a horrible thing. Listen, Christ in us has been a benefit, but folks, Christ in us is not just meant to come in us and stay and to sit. You see, Christ wants to strengthen others through us. 1 Corinthians 12:7, you're there in the passage. Look down, go down a little bit. We'll get to this verse in a while, but notice, he says, "But the manifestation," or the seeing of, the reality, he said, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal." What does that tell us? What's the truth in this verse? Christ in us wants to be used to help other people. Christ did not come just for you. He came to you to be a blessing to someone else. That's important. So, truth number one. What was it? Christ lives in me, you, us. As a church, Christ is in us. Number two, Christ wants to strengthen others through us. 1 Corinthians 14:12, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts." By the way, a lot of people, oh, they're after the spiritual gifts. What is it? What can I do? And how can I heal and do this and do spiritual things? Oh, people are zealous of it. "Even so ye, as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the" what? "Edifying of the church." The edifying of the church. How can I be a blessing to build you up? By the way, the counterfeit part of that is that most are trying to build themselves up. I can do this, and I can do that. Look what we can do, and we can... Wow. The point is look what we can do to help other people. Ephesians 4:11, 12, and 13. That's the passage he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for. What? Why did he gift these people? For the edifying, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The goal is Christ in you to help other people come to Him. Do you see that? Again, using Christ in you, helping other people to come to Christ. See that? It's meant to be that way. It's not meant to come right here and to stay right here and look at what I get to do. And everybody bow down to me and say, you know, wow, what a great guy he is. Okay? Christ lives in you. Christ wants to edify and strengthen others through you. And number three, we look at, and we'll stop here tonight, Christ wants to reveal himself to the world through our use of spiritual gifts, okay? So God wants us, as we use these things, not only to help other people, but to help people come to Christ. And so so that they can see something in us, that the church would be useful. And I'll tell you, the biggest detriment, I've said this many times, okay, just listen to this before we close and go into the Lord's table, this. The world is sick of seeing churches that are supposed to be unified. They're sick of seeing churches that are in it for themselves, that are doing things for themselves, and because of the self, they are dividing and down and being down on people and fighting and arguing, and they make fairly accurate conclusions. They say, how can that be right? Doesn't that make sense? How can it be right? How could this church claim to be right when they say it's such a wonderful thing and it's under God, and yet all they do is get there and they're fighting and arguing? And that turns away people of the world. That turns them away. They don't see Christ in them. They see fighting in them. They see arguing in them. What it should be is they should be able to look at the church and they should see who? Christ. They should get a clear picture. Now, that was our theme last year. Did you get it? I hope so. Now, I know we all need it. I probably didn't get it the way I need it as well. But you know what? We always ought to be endeavoring to live Christ to the world. And when we are acting, when I have been given, and we're not into it yet, so we're not going to understand it, but when I have been endowed by the Holy Spirit with a way that motivates me. Now listen, I'm choosing these words in particular. When I am empowered by the Holy Spirit and gifted by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he knows exactly what he wants in me. And he gives to me, he blesses me with something from himself, a particular motivation in how I would be motivated to serve each one of you. And I follow that. And I obey that. And then I do that. And so God has powered and given me this, and then I take it and I channel it and I use it. When that happens, and by the way, and everybody's going to be powered and commissioned differently by the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's the way the body works. Aren't we glad that the body isn't all one part? If we were all heads, it would be a mess, okay? But we're not. God has gifted the church differently. We have arms and we have legs and we have eyes and we have ears and we have and whatever else you are, I don't know. But he's made it that way. And when each part is doing what it was meant to be. What it was meant to be. So gifted from the Holy Spirit and channeled and using it. And for what purpose? For other people. So I am doing this to help Bonnie and Carrie. I'm doing this to help Carol. I'm doing this to help. When I am doing it under the power of the Holy Spirit, under his direction, in the way that he meant, and then everybody is edified, built up, encouraged. When that is taking place, you are encouraged. It brings you closer to the Lord. And you know what it does when somebody walks into a place that's happening? They say, I want that. I want that. See, the turnoff, though, is to walk into a church that claims it. And and they're listening to people in the foyer gossip about other people, tear other people down. I can't believe that we did this and do that. It's no wonder. I specifically remember visiting in Mountjoy a certain person, talking to them. You know, and he's sitting there on his chair, and he looked up at me, he's outside. He looked up at me, and you know, he has had this disgusted look in his face. He said, "You know why? I'm never going to go to that church." Now, he wasn't specifically talking about Faith Bible Church. But he said, "You know why I'll never go there?" He said, "Because that place is filled with people." That place. Again, he wasn't talking about here. He's talking about church. He said, "Because places like that are filled with people that all they do is fight against each other." You know, and I had a hard time countering him. I'm sorry that that's been your experience. But folks, it doesn't need to be that way. The reason why this topic is so important is because when God's people get a hold of the spirituals, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit, underneath the control of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God and for the edification of others, when we get a hold of that and I recognize that my gift from God is that I be used in this way, and then I begin to practice that and I do that and other people begin to do that, when the church is acting that way as a body of Christ, it is not only going to edify the body of Christ, it is going to be a testimony to the world. Look at this place and what is happening. The reason why we don't see more happening is because maybe we don't understand spiritual gifts. And so let that be an introduction to you tonight. Is this something important that we need to understand? The answer is yes, we do. We need to understand, how has God wired me to be a blessing to these people and a testimony to the world? All right? So you can close your Bibles for now, and I'm going to ask the men to come, and we're going to go into the Lord's Supper. Now, this is going to be something that we're going to get into, and I'm just going to go just as slow as we need to in order for us to understand.